Hey, everybody. Welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Becky, and joining me for this episode is Amanda. Hi, Amanda.
Hi.
And Jenny. Hey, Jenny.
Hi, Becky.
And making her Wednesday night debut is Lindsay. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi.
She's so excited to be here. We're excited to have you, Lindsay. So, okay, this is our fifth Wednesday of episodes. How's everyone feeling? Good?
Very excited.
I'm really enjoying these. If you guys are listening to this, let us know what you think. You can leave reviews or send us a message. We'd really like to know what you think. Also, dropping June 1st will be July's lineup, which is pretty good. I'm pretty excited.
I think June and July are going to be way better than May.
You think? You think we'll have more thumbs up instead of thumbs down?
For sure.
I think we've only had one.
One thumbs down, right?
No, I think we've only had one that everybody thumbs upped.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah, that was it Marie?
Yeah, last week we all thumbs up.
Last week was Karis.
Oh, wait. Okay, I'm behind.
Yeah, we were.
And I think it was kind of, I was sideways. I wasn't 100% like, yay.
Oh.
So, oh no. Stacey says it was last week's. Last week's was the first one that we were all thumbs up.
Okay, we all thumbs up Marie, though. Right?
Did we? I don't know. Did I?
Yeah.
I've been a problem.
Well, you said he annoyed you a little bit, but you thumbs up, I think.
I've been the problem, really. The one ruining the statistics is me.
No, I think the first one we all thumbs down.
The very first one. Yeah, we all thumbs downed it. Even those that just quit. Quitters.
Hey, you know what? That equates a thumbs down.
I DNF'd as soon as I realized I couldn't attend the episode that day. I was like, nope, done. This is bad.
You guys are the worst. Yep. You guys are the worst. Okay, so on this episode, we are reviewing Whiskey Secrets by Carrie Ann Ryan. Stick with us for the next little while as we break down all the enchanting details of Whiskey Secrets. Things to know before we start. This released January 2nd, 2018. I want to add a little caveat here. Before you read this, read the author's notes and the dedication. This book, Carrie wrote this book at a really, really difficult time in her life. Her husband was suffering from an illness and she lost him. It's the last book that he ever helped her with. And I think that we see some of that distress and emotion come out in this book. It made a little bit more, I think there was a little more understanding.
Yeah.
But we'll get to why I say that. tropes, single dad, close proximity, coworkers, slow burn, slowest freaking burn.
It is. It's pretty slow.
It's only like 260 some pages. But the burn was so slow. Small town, grumpy sunshine, opposites. I would even say that these guys are adversaries to lovers at first.
Yeah, for like a hot minute, yeah.
But it's not the main trope.
It's kind of their foreplay, right?
Right. They are... Yeah, it's kind of their banter, their upset with each other is kind of the dance.
Yeah, because they're not really like angry with each other per se.
No.
Just the ideal of each other.
Yeah. And
they get over it kind of quick.
They do. And Dare does not like change. He is not a man that deals well with change. But again, we'll get into that in a minute. Series name, this is Whiskey Lies. This is a standalone. This is a 3-book series. So if you as a reader are intimidated by Carrie-Anne Ryan's gigantic backlist. This is a really great, easy, safe place to start. The Montgomerys are kind of off to the corner, but they do not trickle in.
No, they're just mentioned.
Yeah. POV, dual first person, put out percentage. Or no, this was not.
No, it's third.
It's third person. Yeah. Dual third person. Sorry. Put out percentage was 43%. And then audio narrator, if you do audiobooks, is Gregory Salinas. And it is only him, even though we get both POVs. It's only the guy. And Amanda mentioned, I will say, I did the audiobook. It is available with Kobo Plus. And it was good. It wasn't terrible, but it was weird that it was a dude and that it wasn't both narrators, both female and male.
I disagree.
Okay. Go for it.
I did the audiobook, and I think that, like, I've eyeball read her books almost exclusively, and I think, like, there were little elements of comedic timing he just completely failed to capture at all. Like, there were certain things that would have been absolutely hilarious if done by certain narrators, and I think the narrator pick wasn't great, and then I also think the way that he narrated, like, for me, third person is really hard to narrate, and there it was really hard to differentiate between what was happening at times. So I don't actually recommend the audiobook, like, given how much I've read Carrie-Anne Ryan and how fast it is to read her books, like eyeball read, like they're like 2.5 hour easy eyeball reads. I just think I can't recommend the audio.
Yeah,
it's not the best.
I can appreciate that, because actually Heather started the audio and she reverted to the ebook because she didn't like that it was only one narrator, and she thought he was just very slow in his delivery.
And he missed all the comedic timing. Like, everything that was comedic in this book, it was like deadpan delivery.
Imagine like a professor just like reading the book to you.
It's not that bad, but it's like, it's literally that way. It's literally just like he's narrating the occurrences of the book. Like, there's no character personality. There's no, like, there's very little emotion. Like, I don't know. It's just, it's very different than what you get with the dual person narration. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of what this book had to offer is lost by that delivery.
I think that's fair. What I was going to say was that I was complaining to Amanda that it was only one narrator, and I felt that was kind of weird. And then she reminded me that Rena Morgan does all of her books with only one narrator, but it's John Lane, so it doesn't count.
Yeah, and I think you get a lot of that with third person. It's just, you get that a lot with just one, especially like older books. Yeah.
But you don't miss anything with Rena Morgan's narration when you listen to them, because I've done all of her books through audio. Like, I've pretty much only listened to or read her books that are on audio, and I don't feel like you miss anything. Like, there's a lot of depth given that it's third person.
Yeah.
Point of view.
Yeah, and I did not listen to this, so I don't have any opinion on this narrator. I was just for the third person argument there.
Yeah. That's fine. This is available as an ebook everywhere. The author does have a website where she sells the ebooks and audio and signed paperbacks. This has had a recover. So the cover I used on our graphic is not the current cover. It's had a recover and an updated cover. I don't know that I love it anymore or any less. It's just a new cover. It's still a couple.
I got both with my audio or with my ebook. I think it like shows you one, and then when you open it, you get the other one. Get both.
Okay. Right? The audio is, and the book itself are in Kobo Plus, and they both are on Hoopla. Because Jenny, did you listen on Hoopla?
I eyeballed.
You eyeballed this one. Okay. So that's all the things we should know.
I have an upfront question.
Okay.
Is there like a I know this is an older book, so it wouldn't have been as like common when she published this, but was there a trigger warning or a content warning?
There's not, and I have it on my review on the website. I didn't mention it here, so thank you for saying that. So this book is 2018, and if we're going to be really honest, content and trigger warnings did not become a thing until 2020. Most books published pre-2020 do not, and very few from 2020 have content and trigger warnings. Content and trigger warnings and the idea of content and trigger warnings really came into play with BookTok. They were the ones that started the push for the content and trigger warnings. So let's mention those content trigger warnings on this. Our heroine has suffered through a abusive marriage, and there is a stalker, sort of, an outside dark element, and our hero is a former police officer who was hurt in the line of duty and lost his partner. Did I get them all?
I think so. Those are
I
mine.
mean, there is some domestic violence on page.
Yeah, there is domestic violence on page. But no, there is no. And I wonder if that's something that she's updated on her website. I didn't look on her author
Didn't either.
website. I didn't either.
So yeah, please note the content trigger warnings on that. Any other upfront questions? Okay. So this book takes place, it is her only series that takes place in Pennsylvania, which she lived for 9 years.
Oh, I was going to ask if she lived there at one point.
She did. She lived in Philadelphia while her husband was completing his PhD, and she completed a master's degree. And they lived in Philadelphia. So Whiskey, PA is actually based on the small suburb outside of Philadelphia that she lived in. But that's not the name of the town. Whiskey, PA, it got its name because it was known for its whiskey transportation during
Prohibition.
Prohibition. That's, yeah. So, and Dare kind of gives a little bit of a breakdown of the town and why everything is called whiskey. So.
Yeah, and I will just say because his name is Dare and the town's name is Whiskey, I kept thinking Dare Whiskey from Melissa Foster's series.
I thought
I
their last name was Whiskey.
did too, and it kept throwing me off. I was like, oh no, that's not what book you're reading.
Because the inn is called the Old Whiskey Inn and the restaurant is the Whiskey Restaurant. I'm like,
Yeah, everything's whiskey.
everything was whiskey. And I was like, wait, they're. So I actually had to go back in and look up what their last names were.
You're not going to tell us now?
No, his name is Dare Collins. I've said it twice.
Collins.
Our hero is Dare Collins. So at the beginning of this book, Dare comes off as really whiny.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, I agree.
Lindsay has
Yeah.
something to say.
I
What are your thoughts on Dare Collins?
didn't really improve for me.
You don't think he got better?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I don't. I think like the whininess comes from him not seeking out help or support and just like, let me fight things on my own. It's a lack of emotional intelligence. And at the end, like the conflict and the way that transpires, like he doesn't actually improve, like he gets a kick in the ass to kind of like finally do something. But at the end of the day, like I didn't really see an emotional growth from him, and I didn't really see like I wouldn't say like he came off as whiny to me, but he didn't come off as like a book boyfriend hero for me at all. I
Yeah,
would have kicked him to
he's not a book
the
boyfriend. I don't think he's the
curb.
worst I've ever read.
No.
I don't think he's a book boyfriend. I do feel like that once Kenzie, our heroine is Kenzie Owens, once she starts pushing back on him and forcing him to see past his self, because he's really compart I think what I liked about him, and again, I didn't love him, but I liked him. is it shows how, as a human, you sometimes compartmentalize your life. Like, this is my work life. This is my dating life. This is my home life. And with it, everything fits into a box. Yeah. But with Kenzie, she forced him to see that all of that can merge together and be okay. And I think that given... So Dare is a single dad, and he lost his girlfriend, but it sounds like she wasn't really a partner anyway.
Yeah, they were already having problems.
They already had problems when he got shot. And she leaves him. She's very blue blood, old line, Philadelphia, East Coast. And she leaves and takes the baby with her, right? And then
she's 3 months pregnant, I think, when she leaves, or when he gets shot, she's still pregnant.
Is she still pregnant?
Yeah.
She uses that situation, his tragedy, against him to reduce his custody down to basically nothing.
Which, you know, I will respect Carrie Ann for not making her a bigger villain.
Yeah.
Because
she wasn't terrible.
She wasn't terrible. She just... I don't think either one of them had the emotional capability of being more than what they were. But because Kenzie was the type of character, the way Carrie wrote her, she pushes Dare to seek more, to realize he doesn't have to live in these little compartments, that it can all blend and nobody's going to abandon him. And let's talk about his parents, because the way Kenzie shows up at the inn was pretty crappy, don't you think, Jenny?
I would be ticked. Like, I mean, it would be different if it was like strictly their business, but he is working, like, he is a big part of their business as well. Like,
he owns
the bar and restaurant
that two are businesses like attached.
Yeah, funding their inn. So yeah, to just like drop somebody in, like, hey, I mean, his little comment was, I mean, it was mean, but it wasn't off the wall.
No. And I felt like his response is the same, was a human response. Like, if you were at work, you built your business up and someone out of nowhere is just plopped in the middle of your business and said, hey, they have equal power as you. You wouldn't be a little angry?
Right. And if it's your parents, you're going to act different than like if it was a boss here. Don't have any relationship with outside of work.
Yeah. Stacey mentions that she didn't like the ex because she was the biggest detractor for her because she was trying to limit how much time Dare had with his son. One of the things that I will say with that, though, is so you have the ex and we see how maybe she's not the best match for Dare, even though they have this child together and obviously had some chemistry at some point. But I think that makes the heroine look that much more attractive. But she didn't make the ex complete trash. Like, we've seen trashy moms, right, guys?
Yeah.
Like, but she didn't make a trashy baby mama. She made it just so that she was cold.
Well, she also, I think, had, like, as the conflict presented itself, I felt like her requests were reasonable.
Yeah.
Like, she was just like, I would like you to limit who you're exposing my child to, or at least have some idea of what the relationship is going to be before you get them attached and hurt them. And I thought that was reasonable. Like, she could have been a true villain, and she was not.
She wasn't. I just think it also shows that Dare can be a better person with somebody that has emotional capital. And I think Kenzie had a self-awareness and emotional capital that the ex didn't necessarily have.
I would agree, because like the ex just didn't have any motivation or reason to stick around.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're attached to somebody and they go through what he did, you gotta set boundaries, but you would also be supportive instead of running.
So, Amanda, what were your thoughts on Dare? Do you have any thoughts on him being a former cop and that baggage that he's carrying, the guilt for the loss of his
Yeah, I
partner?
mean, I think that gives him a reason for a lot of what's going on and how he's reacting. I mean, he's been through some stuff. He lost his partner. He was injured. That's a lot of stuff to deal with. And then, now he's a business owner of two businesses with his family. He's trying to get time with his son. He's got a lot going on. So, I mean, it kind of makes sense that he is compartmentalizing the way you said. I mean, he's just trying to get through life, and he's probably emotionally stunted. He's pushed things down. He's, like Lindsay said, it would have done him a lot of good probably to get some therapy.
Yeah, dude did need some therapy. So let's talk about Kenzie, because I felt like she's a really great, well-rounded character. And I think this is something we see with Carrie Ann that she often will do. The men will be stupid, and the women will be like put together and know things and be able to handle things. If you look at, like, I know that we all have read most of her Wilder series. Like, if we look at those women, they're the ones that are the communicators. The men are like, I am dude. So, Lindsay, what were your thoughts on Kenzie as a character?
I really liked her a lot. I thought that her complicated background and then the way she was approaching starting a new life, basically, was really well thought out. I thought that she was really self-aware and really knew what she wanted. And I felt like the emotional maturity she had, especially in like it's a casual to serious kind of situation where the seriousness becomes very abrupt and unplanned. I thought that was handled really well. And basically, like, because of how much I like Kinsey, that's why I felt Dare was so lacking. I was so frustrated because her background is so complicated. She has come from this traumatic experience. She's actively working to make a better life for herself, to distance herself from this. She's done something incredibly brave. She's done a tremendous amount of self-growth. And then you see her paired with this extremely emotionally stunted hero, and it's very frustrating.
I do think,
I love
though,
her, though.
the way she interacts with her brother shows that she's not come as far along as we all think she has.
That is true.
You Yeah, that
know,
was frustrating.
it was like, what are you doing? That's like 17 steps backwards. Like, you were a mile ahead and now you are 2 miles behind because you answered the phone for your brother. But I liked that moment because it showed that even though we see her as this really strong, business-oriented, take no prisoners boss bitch, she actually isn't. She has her own stunted problems, the same as Dare does. They just
Yeah.
are different.
True.
And you can see the forming of a girl gang in this book. With Dare's brother's best friend,
Ainsley. Locke's best friend, Ainsley.
Ainsley. And then, okay, so I didn't read blurbs. We know I don't read blurbs. How many of us think that the partner's widow is going to be the love interest for one of the other brothers?
He's not.
She's not? Oh, did you
No,
binge the whole series?
she has a boyfriend at the end of this book.
Oh, okay. I missed
Yeah.
that.
And then the other brother that is
Fox.
like, yes, he's at the bar with like somebody named Melanie.
Yeah, and that's going to be book two. That's book two, and then the third book is Locke and Ainsley.
Okay, well, at least we get Locke and Ainsley because
Yeah.
they are going to be spicy.
Yeah, he's my favorite.
He's your favorite. Are you binging this whole series now?
No, not yet. It'll happen at some point, but not yet.
Okay, so how do you feel Carrie Ann handled the abusive past? So, and then we'll get to the third act breakup, which I didn't talk about, but the dark moment. How do you think Carrie Ann handled the abusive past? Did it feel realistic? Do you think it showed enough strength that Kenzie had? What are your thoughts there, Jenny?
Yeah, I think that's kind of where the like brother piece kind of fit in, how her ex-husband finds her, and then it seems like he has gone off the deep end from like, we don't have a clear image of like what their past was like, just that she was emotionally abused and he became physical at least once,
Yeah.
but it's definitely yeah,
So
got an extreme.
I secretly thought that her ex was going to be the boss for his ex's husband. Like, I thought things were going to be like secular there because it felt like we had some red herrings that kind of made you think that they were somehow going to have.
I thought there was going to be a tie-in somewhere there too.
Yeah. I'm glad it wasn't just me. Lindsay, what were your thoughts on how Carrie Ann handled the abusive past?
I thought it could have been done better.
Okay. Why do you think that?
There's a year gap between their divorce and now, and he's just now escalating to cause problems for her. Like, I don't. I think with how it escalated in the story, I think that there would have been more of a catalyst for her to draw clearer boundaries with him, especially with her family. Like, it's weird that her family still associates with someone who treated her that way.
It's just the
Like, I.
brother, right? Because the parents are gone.
Yeah, the parents
Yeah.
are deceased.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's weird. That just seemed weird. That whole situation didn't make a lot of sense to me. I felt like as a brother, like he'd want to know what happened. Like he'd know her better to understand, like if she's
No.
vacating a.
No.
I'm like,
I don't
no,
know. It
I
just
have
wants money.
really,
I don't know. I just.
Lindsay, I have really less than stellar siblings. Yeah, no. They totally would take the ex's side. Like, yeah.
Well, especially if, I mean.
Well, that's disappointing. I don't know. I just, the whole, I don't know. I struggle. Maybe that's true.
I
I
think
don't
it's
know. I
fair. I
just had a
think
hard time with it. I just.
the timeline didn't make more sense. I would have liked to have seen a little more inserting of like text from him or phone calls from him, emails from him, like
Right.
maybe more like, oh my God, did I spot him? I get that she's
Yeah.
in a
Yeah.
small town. I think that when we have a stalker storyline, more little things need to be planted. It can't just be, hey, I have this past. Oh, I got a random email, and then nothing happens till the dark moment. Like,
And the
yeah,
motive
or even
very
like if she.
unclear.
Oh, what was that?
It
Oh,
was very
sorry.
unclear. No, it's
The
okay.
motive was unclear. Like, why was he still hung up on her after a
Yeah.
year? Like, it seems like there wasn't enough to justify. Like, why did he all of a sudden care? It just seemed convenient. It seemed convenient.
No, I don't disagree. What were we gonna say, Amanda?
I was just gonna say, even if she had had like maybe some contact with the local police or something, like I know that she mentioned that they wouldn't do anything or he hadn't escalated enough, but maybe more of a tie-in where there were reports or she had somebody on the case or maybe just a like could have done it that way without having him show up more. But yeah, like you said, I think more like red herrings or Easter eggs or something.
Something just to keep, because so I didn't say it at the beginning. This book does have a third act breakup and a dark moment with an outside conflict.
Conflict. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it felt like a lot in the last 15% of the book.
Yeah.
Wait, what are your rules on the third act breakup again? Because their breakup's like 6 hours.
Their breakup is 6 hours. I don't really have rules, but they were officially together. And then he was like, we have to take a break. Like, he didn't want to commit to her anymore. Don't you think? So, would you? So, you don't feel like it was a breakup? You just think it was a dark moment?
Yeah, I would say.
Okay. Well, the fact that she didn't leave, like, she wasn't packing her bags and leaving. I can see why you didn't think it was a third act breakup. It was just a lot at the last. Like, we had
It
had even
was.
action throughout most the majority of the book. And their chemistry was good. I felt like I could see them as a couple. They absolutely completed each other. Like, he was broody. She was willing to take risks and chances. She pushed him to be better. He kind of helped temper her back. Like, I could see why they're together. Their chemistry was good. Lindsay disagrees with me. You don't think they had good chemistry?
I don't disagree with the chemistry. I just think that the problem with the book is that it is like 260 pages. There's a reason most complete stories hit around the 300 plus page mark. And I think that this runs into the same issue a lot of novellas do. It's highly entertaining. It's great. They do have great chemistry. They don't have enough development as a couple to feel complete with the HEA at the end. And that's my beef with the book. Like, that's the whole thing. With a romance, I want a very complete, very secure HEA. This is always my complaint.
It's always your complaint.
And I just feel like it was a meh HEA. Like, I feel like, yeah, they're a good couple. They're going to be happy together. But it was just very, like,
but Carrie and Ryan, outside of
the bedroom, lackluster.
But Carrie and Ryan does what Sawyer Bennett does. She doesn't necessarily give us epilogues because we see more of the romantic development, like snapshots of them in the future, in the next couple books.
Yeah, I'm sure that's going to happen here.
So I would imagine that book two, we probably see them more as a couple.
But you shouldn't need that.
I don't
call it HEA.
I am not disagreeing with that.
I just think that I think she could have done, even with a little bit extra word count, like 5,000 extra words, I think that she could have added a lot more depth and development to these characters to where it didn't feel so rushed when you got to the climax. Because it was like all of a sudden, essentially what happened when we got to the climax, it was like bombs going off everywhere with all the drama.
Yeah.
And it wrapped up like in a split second. And it's not, like, again, this isn't bad. I actually enjoyed this book and I would recommend it. Not the audiobook.
Just not the audiobook.
I just think like a little bit more depth and development could have made this a really good book instead of just a.
So more of a 5-star read instead of just a 3.5-4.
Yeah.
Okay. So before we go to our next part, the brothers. Anybody want to talk about the brothers? Do we have?
I really like Locke. So, I mean, I already said that. So, you know, he's another single dad. And like, my favorite part is when he punches Dare in the face. So yeah. That was my favorite part of the book.
That was a good part.
He's, you know, and I like their dynamic. You know, they jump in and help him out. So I imagine like in the later books, they're going to jump in and help each other out. Like, yeah. You know, they seem like a tight knit group of brothers.
I think that's something that I always like, expect, and enjoy from Carrie and Ryan books. And that is her family series. Sometimes the families don't always get along. But when the going gets tough, somebody's there to help you.
Really glad his parents didn't have a problem with them being together, because that would have just been like another.
I probably would have thrown my Kindle. Situation. I probably would have thrown my Kindle and yelled at Carrie. Like, yeah. I literally would have texted her and been like, "Lady, we're done, broken up, finished." And I'm glad the parents weren't in the book more often, because I really wanted to punch them all in the face.
Yeah. After that first scene, I was like, oh, wait, no.
Yeah, yeah.
It would have been too much, I think, if there were more of them in the book. Yeah. Because it was such a short, quick read.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so we're going to do our thumbs up, and then we're going to go to books that if you liked this, we think you should try this. Okay.
Can we talk about one more thing?
Yes, first? Lindsay, what else do you need
to talk about? The edible panty scene.
I forgot about that scene.
That was pretty good.
That was pretty funny.
I mean, the first note I have for this is edible panties.
That was pretty funny. How mortifying would that be? That, like,
it was fantastic. Loved it.
Being an older couple and having to come down and tell the front desk that you clogged the toilet with edible panties.
That have been partially consumed.
Right? That they didn't like the way they tasted.
They didn't like the flavor.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
That was a really great scene. That was really good. And the kids, real quick, the kids were age appropriate, I felt, in this book. Like,
yes.
They worked. Yes. There wasn't a moment where I was like, a 5-year-old isn't going to talk like that, or a 3-year-old isn't going to be like that. Both those kids, I felt like, were very age appropriate. Okay, so here we go. Amanda, thumbs up, thumbs down?
Thumbs up.
Okay. Jenny, thumbs up, thumbs down?
Thumbs up.
Lindsay, thumbs up, thumbs down?
Thumbs up.
Thumbs up from me. I really liked this series. I think that, again, if you're new to Carrie Ann and you've not sure where to dive into her backlist, I actually think this is a great lead-in.
Yeah, I agree.
You understand the kind of women that she writes, how her stories move, her pacing. I do think the Wilders are better stories, but I do think this is a quick, easy, and it's only 260-some pages. So it's a quick, easy jump into. Okay, so do you have any books that you think people should read if they enjoyed this book, if they gave us a thumbs up along with us? Because Stacey did. Stacey gave it a thumbs up too. So if you're listening, you can go ahead and put a thumbs up in the comment if you were a thumbs up or a thumbs down. We'd love to know. What do you got, Amanda?
So I had Before This Ends by Aurora Rose Reynolds. It's book 2 in her Before series. He's a single dad. He's a active police officer, but I think it has kind of the same feels.
Yeah.
It's also a shorter, those are typically shorter books. That one does not have a third act breakup or any external conflicts. So I think if those things kind of annoyed you in this book, that would be one to check out if you want one with less.
Yeah.
And then my other one was The Perfect Hope by Nora Roberts. That's book 3 in her Inn at Boonesboro series. So she is also a city girl who comes in to run the inn that Ryder's parents, Hope comes in to run the inn that Ryder's parents own, and they clash big time as well. So I like that one a lot. There's a little bit of a kind of a ghost element in that one. So I love those books.
Yeah, it's a great series. Amanda, are we entering into our Nora Roberts phase again?
I don't think I ever left it.
I don't think you honestly. Do either. We just keep reading them.
I know.
Jenny, do you have any books you think people should try if they liked this book?
I haven't read a ton of Carrie. I mean, she has a ton of books. I've read a good deal of her books, but not a ton of them. Well, I'm trying to think of someone that writes similar.
That's okay. Lindsay, you got anybody?
Come back.
I'll come back.
Yeah, I actually recommend Enemies on Tap by Avery Flynn. It is a brewery series. It's a little bit of enemies to lovers. It's a similar situation to them where I believe the hero is like a banker and she needs a loan for him. She's returned to town. They're ex-lovers. They have a little bit of history there, but I felt like this kind of, like, there's comedic elements. It's light. It doesn't dive too much into like an emotional past. Like I know there's a lot more emotional and trigger warnings with Whiskey Secrets, but I thought like some of the key elements of Whiskey Secrets translated nicely into what Enemies on Tap offers.
Okay.
But Enemies on Tap is a little more uplifting.
A little happier.
A lot happier.
Oh. Keeping It Hot by Sydney Landon. He owns the hotel and she runs the coffee shop connected to the hotel. If you've never read Sydney Landon, highly recommend. Not With Your Love by Lexi Ryan. Kind of has the brewery, small town. She's brought in to help. Faded Hearts by Kelly Elliott. His family owns like a wedding venue. And she's brought in to be the wedding coordinator, but they have a Snowden forced proximity one night stand before she comes to town. I think After Hours on Milagro Street have a little bit of these same vibes as Whiskey Secrets.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
One Way Back to Me by Carrie Ann Ryan. Coworkers. He doesn't really want to hire a wedding planner, but yeah. he does, and he's so attracted to her, but he's mad that he's attracted to her.
Yeah, I thought about that one too.
Adrift by Swati MH. She's the nanny, he's a single dad, small town. Again, he doesn't want to hire her, but he really doesn't have any other options. Welcome to Winterville by Carrie Elks. In that book, he's the billionaire trying to buy the whole small town to turn it into a ski resort. And she, along with her cousins, own the town and don't want to sell. And if you haven't read that series or you haven't read Carrie Elks, freaking do it now. And I think I've made Jenny and Lindsay both read her.
I mean, I read the Hearts and Creek, one of those, but I haven't read Winterville.
Yeah, once I started, it was hard to stop.
Right.
It is. Her books are so consumable. Manhunt by Vanessa Vale, I think, has some of these similar vibes. That's the first book.
That book one? Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I think that has that true. Similar vibes. Like, she's been hired, and he's like, but I didn't hire you.
Yeah.
So I think that has some similar vibe, too. And did you think of anything, Jenny?
Forest for the Trees by Kilby Blades, because they don't really want to work together, but there's that tension between them. And
for sure.
And for fire. Sure. There's fire.
There's a lot of fire in that book. There's a lot of fire. Trees and between them. Okay, so those are our book recs we think that you should try if you enjoyed this book. And Leah says, I do have rules for breakups. It has to have a breakup feel.
Well, I mean, this had a breakup feel to me.
It did.
But, I mean, I get where it could be not construed that way.
I agree. Okay. So be sure to visit our website to stay up to date on our upcoming selections. And if you are a member of the Buzzing About Romance Patreon, you can contribute to our Sip and Discuss picks. Join us this Sunday night for our next Buzzing About Romance episode. What is our episode? This Sunday about.
You guys are doing the LGBTQIA episode.
Yes. Pride TBR. We're going to try to hit all the colors as best we can.
Like 80% of the colors. Like
80%.
Yeah.
Mark your calendars for next Wednesday. We'll be right back here live on YouTube, Sunday and Wednesday. And next week, we are diving into Lights, Camera, Passion by Isabel Lucerio. This is a male-male Hollywood norm romance, so it should be pretty good. And you can also check out our website on June 1st for our July lineup, or you can check it out on Patreon tomorrow, but it might be teasing in our Discord right now. So those are all the things you should know. Thank you, everybody, for joining me for this episode.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Until next time, everybody. Happy reading.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.